Hey church, Pastor Adam here, and I want to say thank you so much for stopping by to join us for church online today. And while we are super stoked that you're hanging out with us this morning, we do want to remind you that really this is supplemental. And man, it just cannot replace the local church in your life. And so look, we hope that you are encouraged and challenged and shaped by today's message that's being preached. But also, we don't want to be your substitute for the local church body that you should be involved in. We really do believe that the local church is God's plan A in reaching the world. So with that being said, please come hang out with us in person one Sunday. If you're in Paducah in the area, come hang out with us to get some rest, or find a local Bible-believing, Jesus-preaching church that you can get plugged in and connected to. Jesus loves the church, and we love Jesus, and we believe that we can better serve Jesus if we love his church well. So welcome to rest.
I don't think there's been an event in human, I don't think there's been a week in human history that has shaped us like this week has. Back the original week when Jesus comes in on the donkey into Jerusalem, and then he works his way through that week. And then we land on, on Good Friday. I don't know about you. I don't know if you've ever had a week like that, where you've had a really busy week. Or maybe, it started really great, took a difficult turn, then it, ended up just being a really bad week altogether. I've had those weeks. I don't know if you have. It's kind of common, right? Life is difficult. Life throws curveballs. Or maybe, I don't know, have you ever gotten so wrapped up in your circumstances that where you are in the moment is all you can see? So you focus on that instead of the things that are really important. Things like, your family, your relationship with God, things like that. So, and in Jesus' life, Jesus' world, a lot has happened on that week. He had a week like that. If you remember, when we talked on Sunday, Jesus, he came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and the crowds were going crazy. They were throwing the palm branches in the road, and they were screaming, "Hosanna, Hosanna." They were looking for him. They were expecting him to destroy Rome and give back Jerusalem, give back the kingdom to Israel. That was their expectations. That's what they wanted. That's what was in their mind. That was what's in their head. And in that week, from that moment, he was adored by the crowds. They wanted to make him king. Wanted to make him king. And then in that week, he was so overcome with sadness for the city that he loved so much that he wept for Jerusalem, and he wept for the people that lived there. During that week, he drove out the money changers from the temple. He taught daily. He was challenged by the leaders. He was baited by the Sadducees. He was rejected by the scribes. He foretold the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, his return to earth. He celebrated Passover with his disciples. And in that moment, he instituted the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Something we do to this day. He even endured drama within his own group. That's the moment, that's the time when they started jockeying for position. Who can sit at his right hand? Who can sit at his left? All this going on in this really busy week. And then, he did what he did so many times. He went out and he prayed. He prayed. While he was praying, he was betrayed and arrested, and his suffering began. And it's at this moment, I want to challenge you to do something, okay? So if you've been in church for any length of time, you've heard this story over and over again. You've seen pictures like this over and over again. And it's really easy to become numb to the event, to become routine and religious. So if that's you, because it's me in a lot of ways. I mean, I've let I've spent so many Good Fridays not even thinking about Good Friday. It's just a Friday. It's just a Friday, right? Don't do that. Don't do that. Look at this. Look at this event with a fresh set of eyes, as best you can, with a fresh perspective. With a fresh perspective. So I'm going to pray for us and we're going to get started. Father in heaven, we love you. I ask, Lord, that you would just take this moment in our lives, this divine appointment, and use it to shape our view of who you are. Whether we're Christians in the room with a great relationship with you, or a relationship that struggles, or maybe our faith is shaken, I ask, Lord, that you would just take this moment and just show up and reveal to us in a fresh new way who you are. And if there is anyone here that doesn't know you, and take this moment to open their eyes so that maybe they see you for the first time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So during the final hours of Jesus' life, okay, and this is once he gets finished in the upper room with the Passover meal, and he's gone to the garden, he's prayed to God, please, let this cup pass from me, but not as my will, as thy will be done. He gets betrayed by one of his closest friends. He gets arrested. He gets deserted by the rest of his friends. Once they arrest him, they mock him and they beat him. Now this is not the beating that comes next. This is, they just rough him up, basically, okay? They rough him up. One of the gospels says they actually grab his beard and pull. If you think about that, those beard holders in the room, if you think about that, grab your beard and physically pull the hair out of your face. Okay? Then they brought him before the chief priests and the scribes. They send him to Pilate. Pilate sends him to Herod. Herod sends him back to Pilate. And then Pilate tries a compromise. He has him flogged. Now, we see that in Scripture. That's just a word. We don't flog people today. Okay? But what they did is they took him out, they tied him to a post, they stripped him naked, and they beat him with a whip that had metal shards in it, glass, whatever, and they physically ripped skin from his back. Then they brought him back to Pilate, and Pilate takes him out and displays him to the crowd. The crowd who hailed him as king 5 days earlier, hailed him as king, adored him, loved him, worshiped him. And he displays him, hoping that that settles it. Because Pilate didn't want to crucify him any more than he just didn't want to crucify him. And then that doesn't work. And these same people who scream Hosanna, who chanted Hosanna, screamed crucify him. So if you remember the story, you've heard the story. Pilate brings out a bowl of water, washes his hands, orders him to be crucified. Scripture says, John 19, so delivered him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is Golgotha. And there, they crucified him between two others, one on either side. As Cody said earlier, right? We don't get that. We just don't. Okay, we don't do crucifixion today. We have the death penalty, right? But we don't do crucifixion. So you read past it. They crucified him. That was a big deal. As Cody said earlier, when the Romans had perfected this. So you're hanging there I did this demonstration with one of teenagers one time. I had them take two Mountain Dew bottles and do this. And I timed them. She lasted for 4 minutes. 4 minutes. Just with two 2-liter Mountain Dew bottles. And she was a jock. She was a softball player. She was in shape 4 minutes. That's what she lasted. So remember, he got flogged. His back is ripped up. He's hanging on the cross. Nails in his hands, nails through his feet. And he's sagging and he's losing air. So he brings himself back up and he raises back on the cross to take a breath. And this goes on. And in some cases, this went on for days. The Romans were not quick. It was designed to not be quick. This went on, in Jesus' case, for 6 hours. Up and down on the cross. Back and forth. Back and forth. And in this time, people looked at this just like we look at it. Only they were there, we're not. They looked at it while it's happening. We look at it after it's happened. But we still look at it. The crowds that were there, this was an ordinary day. In his book, 6 Hours on Friday, 6 Hours One Friday, Max Licato says, to the casual observer, there was nothing unusual about these 6 hours. To the casual observer, this Friday was a normal Friday. 6 hours of routine, 6 hours of the expected. 6 hours, one Friday, enough time for a shepherd to tend his flocks, a housewife to clean and organize her house, a physician to receive a baby from a mother's womb, and to cool the fever of one near death. 6 hours, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., 6 hours, one Friday, 6 hours filled with, as are all hours, the mystery of life. Mystery of life. To the religious leaders who were watching this, this was awesome. They had won. This Jesus guy was done. Problem solved. But to his disciples and to the ones who loved him, okay, they fear, disappointment, confusion, loss, sadness. You know they asked questions. You know they did. Everybody else is good. The religious leaders, they're celebrating. They're actually doing Passover when this happened. They're killing the Passover lamb when this happened. They're in celebration for the fact that they had won. They had solved the Jesus problem. Everybody else going about their day. Crucifixions were normal. They saw them every day. Or not every day, but they saw them. If you lived back then, you saw a crucifixion. You knew what it meant. You knew what it was. But his disciples, you got to know, they asked, what in the world has just happened here? What have we wasted the last 3 years of our lives? This guy was supposed to be the Messiah. And he's dying on a tree. Peter said he was God. Can't kill God, can you? But there is God dying on a tree. Dying on a tree. What should we do? Is this going to happen to me? Should we run? Should we fight? Should we hide? We got to do something. Because I don't want to hang on a tree. I don't want to die on a tree. And then there's some questions you and I should ask. What in the world caused God the Father to set this up in the first place? Revelation 13:8 says that Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. This was not a surprise to God. This was not a surprise to Jesus. This was not a surprise to the Holy Spirit. Another question we should ask is, why would God the Son even allow this to happen? All through the book of John, Jesus says, John chapter 17, he says, listen, you're not taking my life from me. I'm going to lay it down, and I'm going to take it back. Why didn't God the Holy Spirit stop it? And what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us? The reality of the situation is that Jesus was dealing with a much bigger problem than Rome. If you're sitting in the room in here today, you, like the people there, like everyone else, you got the same problem. We have a sin problem. We have a problem. We have a sin problem against a holy God. Against a holy God. And in this Holy Week, if it had just been another ordinary week, an ordinary story, you and I would still have that problem. When Jesus died on the cross, when he died, when he gave his spirit up, he dealt with that problem for us. He dealt with it in its finality. Jesus said a lot of things in his life. He said things like, you know, love your enemy, pray for those who hurt you. He said, you know, if you want to be my disciples, you need to love one another. He said, you know, where your treasure is, your heart is also. He said a lot of things. On the cross, he said seven things. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. As Cody said earlier, he looked down at John. He looked at John. He said, take care of my mom. He said, I'm thirsty. Speaking of his humanity. He said, Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He told the thief next to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. He also said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. But the most important thing he said on that cross, the most important thing he said that directly applies to you and me today in this moment, it applies to my kids, it applies to your kids. He said, it is finished. It is done. Sin is beaten. You don't have to deal with it anymore. The wrath of God no longer applies to you if you turn to him in repentance and faith. That's what Good Friday meant. In that moment, heaven was shaken and humanity would never be the same. The events of Holy Week didn't just redefine humanity. They reshaped eternity. Your eternity, my eternity. The question is, what do you do with it, right? Whenever someone tells you a Bible story, two real good questions to ask. Really, seriously. So what? And now what? So what does that mean for us? Well, what it means for you and me specifically, if you're a Christian today, that means you are free. You do not have to pay sin's debt. Sin has been dealt with. It's done. You can live a free life. You can live a free life to Jesus, for Jesus. You can have a relationship with God. Up to that point, You couldn't. Had he not done that, we couldn't. But he did. So we can. So we can. If you're not a Christian in the room today, man, you got big problems. I mean, it's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of an all-powerful God. A friend of mine said today, we were talking at breakfast, we were talking about heaven and hell and that kind of thing. We do that sometimes. He said hell, because a lot of the Christian world, this sermon is not about hell, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to scare you in anything. I would if I could, because it's bad, but I'm not trying to. He said these words. He said, hell is so bad that Jesus went through that so you didn't have to. Hell is so bad that he endured 6 hours that Friday. He absorbed the full measure of God's wrath. So I don't have to. So I can have a relationship. So I can call God my Father. So I can call you brothers and sisters. He endured that. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin not to wear your sin, not to carry your sin, to be sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. If that's you, look at this day with fresh eyes because of what he did on that cross. You get to be the righteousness of God. I get to be the righteousness of God. If that's not you, and if that's not you today, if you don't know Jesus, when we're finished here tonight, I'm not going to do a normal invitation like we normally do because we have other things we're going to do tonight. But listen, we have pastors in the room, we have deacons in the room. Come talk to someone. Don't carry this by yourself. But if you are a Christian and you are struggling with stuff, you're struggling with drama. I mean, I get it. I get it. I struggle with drama all the time. Romans 8:28 is one of the hardest verses I've ever read. It's a hard verse to get in your head. I don't like the verse, to be honest with you. I don't like it. It says, "For God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." That verse is built from that. If God can take the crucifixion of his child and make good come out of it, there is nothing you go through, nothing, that he can't do that with. And that is an amazing promise made by a God who loves you, a God who adores you. And that is reason to celebrate. Pray with me. Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you. We ask, Lord, that as we move on into this portion of our service, that you would give us grace to hear your voice, eyes to see you for a new time, a new way, with new eyes, with fresh eyes, with eyes that come to adore you for what you've done and for who you are. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.